June 2025 episode of the In the Distance Oblivious Playlist Podcast. It's a podcast about music
by two people who love music, and I'm sitting with the lime-loving Big Al Hammond.
And I'm sitting with the soon-to-be-moving Phoebe Fowler. Every month, we sit around and we talk about music, our favorite artists, albums, venues, shows we've seen, whatever. We'll also talk about our monthly changing Spotify playlist and some of the songs that we're featuring that month.
Our podcast is never intended to be overly professional, and it's basically unscripted. Just two people sitting around talking about music and why we often like,
but sometimes dislike,
each other's music tastes. But always remember, this is not a professional podcast.
It's June, Phoebe.
Welcome to summer.
Summer is here.
Yay.
We've had a weird spring. It's been super rainy.
It's been rainy and or very cold and damp.
Yeah.
Which means we have yet to camp.
We have tried to camp.
I'm itching for it.
We have tried to camp. Hopefully I'm about to camp as you listen to this. But we've tried to make reservations, we've tried to make plans, and every time we do so, the weather forecast is shit. So, anyway.
As we sit here, it's currently, well, it's not raining cats and dogs now.
No, but it's...
It wasn't great.
It has been doggy and catty outside earlier today.
Meow.
It will be again. And it has not been... Yeah, it hasn't really gotten hot yet.
Nope.
Which is
it
welcome.
Will, though, because
it, will get hot.
It always comes, though, doesn't it?
It'll
it comes
get hot,
for everyone.
It'll get humid. It'll get Virginia in the summertime. So we have a little bit of a format change. We still love our playlist, and the whole reason we started this whole thing was because of the Spotify playlist that we have, and we love that, and that will definitely continue. But we're sort of downplaying the playlist slightly for the podcast.
Agreed.
We're still featuring it. We'll still talk about it. We'll still have it on the website. It's still super fun for us. But we've sort of decided it's less interesting. Like, it can be a component of stuff we talk about.
Right, yeah, but like maybe
need
not
to be the main.
Main
feature.
Exactly.
Does that sum it up?
All to say,
yes,
we're focusing on the music, man.
It's all about the music.
Yeah.
The podcast is about the music. The podcast is about the fun of music and things we are interested in musically. So it's going to be a little more about that. Having said that, what shows have we seen since we were here last?
Man, we did go to that show at the Reveille.
Yes.
Shout out to Reveille Richmond, Virginia.
Yes, Reveille Richmond is the best.
It is probably our favorite venue place to be in Richmond. But yeah, we went to one of those shows. Was it a couple weeks ago?
2 or 3 weeks ago.
God, man, yeah. Time just flies sometimes,
I made that up. I have no idea when it was.
I don't know. I don't know what day it is. What's funny, though,
yes.
is we set out with high hopes and dreams
yes.
in the night.
Yes, yes. Say, tell what our initial plan was.
Initially, so someone I work with brought up that their friend or something was hosting the DJ. I don't know. Something or other. There was, this happened.
Yes.
A Steely Dan pop-up bar.
Yes.
At the Jasper
and
in Tarrytown.
I'm not sure we even talked about this. I'm not sure you even know this. Do you know why they did it that night?
Oh, wait, no.
Yes.
I don't.
Do you know what the date was?
I don't even know what day it is today.
The date of that pop-up was May 19. Which sounds a lot like
okay. Hey 19?
A song title.
Yeah.
So
Of course.
I don't think I knew this at the time, but just like May 5th is Cinco de Mayo, or more, actually more apropos, May the 4th is Star Wars Day,
right.
Because it
May
sounds like
be
May the 4th
you.
Be with you. May 19 is Steely Dan Day because mm-hmm. it rhymes with Hey 19.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I had not made that connection.
I hadn't made it the connection until I think the next day.
But it sounds like the people that put it on are definitely Steely Dan fans, which
and,
is very cool.
And they knew that
right.
and took advantage
of course.
And used it as a promotional opportunity.
But yeah, so that's what we went out.
That's
I know
cool.
it was a Monday, obviously it was a Monday night, and that set the bar for our intentions, okay?
Exactly.
We were going to do that.
That was the intention. And
it didn't happen. It did
well,
not work out that way.
It was totally my fault. It
I
was
wouldn't
totally
really say
me.
That's a fault.
It was totally my phobia, anxiety.
Social anxiety?
Rearing its ugly head.
We do be doing that sometimes,
We walked
though.
In. We do. And it's happened to you, too.
Oh, yeah. It'll happen again.
Yeah. No, we walked into the bar, and I think we were expecting the fact that, oh, it's Steely Dan night, so it actually won't get rockin' until 8 o'clock. We walked in, and of course it was happy hour, and
right.
the bar was packed,
yeah.
and there was almost no seats,
mm-hmm.
and we were shown to a table that we were practically sitting in other people's laps,
yep.
and the bar was loud. And
very, yes.
I couldn't do it. I could not. It felt awful, and like I was going to lose my mind. So
like,
we left.
I knew it was going to be busy. I was not expecting that level of whatever. So we left.
Yeah.
We left with Steely Dan in our hearts, though.
We did.
Okay.
We did.
And then we walked to the Bamboo Cafe in Richmond, Virginia.
We did.
Had some food, had some beer, and you brought up earlier that there was a show at the Reveille.
Yes.
And any mention of the Reveille, I want to go.
Yeah.
So we ended up going there.
Yeah.
And I had a very lovely, interesting night.
And to your credit here, you talked me into it a little bit.
I did talk you into it. Yeah.
I was having a very nice time at the Bamboo, drinking my PBRs.
I had music in my soul.
Eating my whatever. What we split something to eat.
It was like a Philly cheesesteak.
Yes, yes.
And fries, which
is
perfect.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that. I was having a nice time sitting at the Bamboo, and like inertia set in, and I was like, oh, I kind of like it here. But Phoebe was like, live music.
Reveille.
Right. Exactly. So we went to Reveille, and it was not a mistake. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And so we saw.
Very happy to go.
We saw Big Pat Patterson.
Yes, we did.
And his band. And Big Pat, his nickname is deserved. This is a large man.
Mm-hmm.
This man is.
He also just sounds like a very demanding, magnetic presence about
him. He is big in stature and big in personality.
Yeah. Very cool.
And both are well deserved. He's not like a. He's not a heavy man, but he's a large man.
It's like,
easily
even if you're taller than him somehow, I feel like he would still tower over you.
Easily 6.5 feet
yeah,
tall.
Yeah.
And he also has like this keyboard setup that his keyboard setup kind of made him feel bigger
mm-hmm.
and more imposing. Like he owned that side of the stage.
He's got personality.
He towered over everyone within a 3-mile radius.
Yeah.
You know?
A very interesting, cool kind of person.
Yeah. Yeah. So they played, and he was wonderfully genuine, straightforward, and hilarious, and commented that, like,
yeah, so funny.
Yeah. Commented that, like, yeah, like when we play for black audiences, we play this kind of
yeah.
music. When we play for white audiences. But the point of the evening was, like, 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
hits. And they played a couple of originals, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
But very sort of very much of that era, but also with a sort of a soul R&B
mm-hmm.
influence.
You know I love that.
Oh yeah, we both do. That's if you're going to see live music.
Exactly.
it needs to have, doesn't need to, but it's best if it has a little soul to it. Not entirely. They did a few. They had a few for me misses.
If you like pina colada.
Yes, yes. Rupert Holmes was in the house.
I don't think it's a good song. It is incredibly catchy, and it always puts a smile on my face.
It always puts a cringe deep into the base of my spine. As
well, when did that one come out again?
Had been driven there.
It was the 80s, right?
No, that was 70s. Shit. That was right. Like that was mid 70s, I think.
Do you remember where you were when you heard that?
Yeah, I mean that came on the radio.
Yeah,
that was on the. That was a huge hit.
I can see that being a huge radio hit.
And
at the time,
catchy and stupid, and oh, it's a clever song, and oh, it's like he sang the song and put this personal ad, and then she answered it, and it's oh, it's a sweet story, and I just want to punch that motherfucker in the face. Like that's just the worst fucking song ever.
It's actually not, but yeah, I get that.
It's,
I get that.
It's in the top. It's in the top five worst songs ever recorded. Anyway, but yeah, there were a few songs that I cared less
They did
for.
Say, you can submit requests the next time that they come. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but like they had like such good energy with each other, and I don't know how long they've been playing with each other, whatever. But I don't know. It's just it felt very much like I was in their living room or something, and they were just messing around on some instruments.
Oh, yeah. And
it was perfect.
And to his credit, and I love seeing shows like that where, like, Big Pat was, like, shouting out directions. And it was like,
yes.
Hey, Frank, you take a solo now. You know, it's like that kind of deal.
Slow on the next run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do that one more time. But the band was amazing. It was Big Pat on keys, a guitar, a bass. The bass player was really good.
He was, it's fantastic.
Really good drummer, really good percussionist, conga player. A couple of vocalists that sat in and out would come and go.
And they all seemed like they knew each other too. So.
Yeah, yeah, everybody was pals.
And one of the vocalists, that was his brother, right? His younger brother?
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that was his brother.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. And a saxophone player who was really good. Really, really. And I wish I remembered his name. But they were all really good. And they had a little jazz. They had a little jazz background, too. They could do a little of that. But they also, being that it was Steely Dan Day, and I doubt they even knew it was Steely Dan Day, they did a Steely Dan song. We enjoyed that. They did.
We got our Steely Dan after all. Yeah.
It will come back to you.
Back.
Ooh, that was kind of good. Can we do that again?
Sure.
One, two, three.
Back. It will come back to you.
It was better than the first
time. We don't need to use that.
We don't. Yeah, we that's going to.
They don't want to hear that,
that's
right?
That's going to go on the cutting room floor. So yeah, we've already picked our playlist. We like our playlist.
Yes.
But we, correct me if I'm wrong, this is not our best playlist ever.
You're not wrong.
Right.
Like
we have
initially,
some good songs in it.
I was ready to disagree with you, and I don't know. I admit that I was wrong about that.
Yeah. There's
it's
nothing
like
wrong
I'm not
with
really
it.
That excited about this one.
Yeah.
You know.
There definitely are a few really good songs and a few songs that are good. But I think overall, this is not...
It's not our best work.
It was good. There's some good songs.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also a little, you know...
My thoughts, exactly.
Some of that. As we always do, it's not only a playlist, it's also a competition.
It is a competition.
And Phoebe and I are famously... We like to pretend we're not terribly competitive people, but...
I think I do like to pretend that I'm not, correct?
It's
not true.
It's cutthroat. Phoebe especially.
Wait, why am I the cutthroat one?
She's a bitch.
Fuck you.
No, like, we're both, like, we both want...
Yeah, we do both want to win.
We both.
I have to remind myself when I'm out with other common folk, and I'm like, okay, I have to put myself in a don't even look at scoring, don't do this, because if I do, now I'm going to want to win. Yep. And we're all rising up to the challenge, bitch.
play the game or go home.
Exactly.
But it is a competition. We vote on which songs we think we will get in. And we not only vote on which songs we think will get in, mm-hmm. but we also vote on, we also make a prediction on what the score will be.
The score, yes.
Right. And as these things sometimes do, sometimes there are ties.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tiebreaker mechanism in place for when we both pick the same number of correct picks.
Yes.
And that has happened.
It happens every now and then, yeah.
It happens.
It's not as rare as you think it would be.
I don't know. I mean, I think the fact that there can be 10 right answers,
mm-hmm.
there almost have to be 5 right answers. It could be 8-7. It could be 9-6.
Right.
It could be 10-8. Or it could tie. But it's not at all unheard of for it to be tie. And it's not that.
We have tied a bit over the years.
Yeah, we definitely have. Anyway, that sort of goes back and forth. We did tie this time. The squirrely ball of confusion, as we call it, which is our tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm. It's in your hands now. Well, it's in mine now.
Right, it's in your hands now because we just tied.
I hold the tiebreaker.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Yes.
That means I have a higher chance of winning next time.
You do. You do.
But
the squirrely ball is in your court.
The squirrely ball.
But we tied, which means I technically won, even though we tied.
True.
But we also guess on what the final score will be.
Yes.
We both,
I love that we do that now.
We both. So I think we both got 7 correct.
Yes, we both got 7.
Which is a miserable. Like, normally, Phoebe's gotten 10 a number of times. I've gotten 9 a bunch of times, and it's not uncommon to
be. I think you've gotten 9 more than I've gotten 10, for sure.
Oh yeah. Getting 10 is rare.
It is rare.
But it will often be 9-8 or 8-7 or 8-8. But 7-7, we didn't do well.
No, we did not.
Seven is.
What's funny
seven is. Seven
is on
the lower end.
Me guessing that I would even get 7 myself is already an indicator that I didn't.
That
think
you
I was
weren't expecting to do well. And I wasn't either. Anyway, we got 7-7. So I won the tiebreaker.
Correct.
And we both guessed that the score would be 8-7 in the other player's favor.
Correct.
I guessed you would get 8, I would get 7. You guessed the opposite.
Which means neither of us win that round.
Everything tied. Everything tied.
Everything has tied. I'm tied right now.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll untie you after we finish recording.
Thank you. This is kind of painful.
Yeah. I know the wrist. I tied the wrist a little bit too tight, but we'll have fun with that later.
Meow. Well, you know what we have to do now.
What do we have to do now?
We should talk about some of the songs that actually got in our playlist.
Let's talk about. We love our playlist. Let's talk about some of them.
And we typically just go down the list and talk about all the ones that got in.
Yes.
But this time, we're going to talk about just a couple of them.
Yeah. Yeah. We've changed our format a little bit. And rather than say very little about every song,
sometimes uninteresting things,
and sometimes kind of bland and generic, and we don't know anything.
I am talking about a song right now.
Yes, this is all I could find about this song. So I got my AI assistant to fill in details that don't make a whole lot of sense.
You did that a little too well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
AI and I are like this.
Owl, AI, it's kind of the same. Yeah,
it kind of is. And if you write capital A, little L, that
AI
can be confused with capital A, capital I.
Are you in real right now?
Am I seeing you? I have never actually. It's questionable whether I even exist.
Man,
I may
fucking a ghost.
I may be. I may be computer generated. I may be living on a server.
Let's talk about these damn songs.
Let's talk about music. That's what we're here for, motherfucker. Would you like to start?
Okay. Let's start. I will start.
Tell me a song.
Let's talk about Hot House Flowers.
I would love to. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know. Okay. So the song that got in is An Emotional Time by Hot House Flowers.
An emotional time.
Songs from the rain.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's currently raining, so it's fitting. Hot House Flowers is an Irish rock band from late 80s
and 90s,
something?
Roughly.
88, maybe?
Sure.
83?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, guys.
It's got an 8 in it.
Around that time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know.
What do you want to know?
The first time you heard Hot House Flowers. And not the first time you've ever heard anything by them, but the first time you listened intentionally to Hot House Flowers. Because for me, man, I definitely had my entire 80s, 90s phase. And I'd say the first time I listened to them was high school, but the first time I actually listened to them was, I don't know, I was like 21, 22.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. But you knew of them before.
I knew of them.
Yeah, I heard them. I would find cassettes. This was in the cassette era. And this is either definitely concurrent to when this music came out or not long after. But I would find cassettes at the local library of
yes,
rock and roll music.
I love that.
And at the time I had it was called a dubbing deck. And it had two cassette things.
Mm-hmm.
One of them played, one of them recorded. So you could make
dub over.
You could make copies, or you could make your own mixtape, basically, right? You know, and that was cool. But I would go find cassettes of music at the library, and they were recorded onto cassettes. But here's the funny thing: they would record them onto. And I can't remember the length of the cassettes, and I can't remember how long an album was. Often they would run out of time on
cassette.
The length of the album would be longer than the length of time to record on that side of the cassette. So I had a bunch of albums that the last song on the cassette was cut off.
Just one of them had to be sacrificed.
There was a Sean Colvin album, and the last song on the album was like my favorite, and I didn't hear it for like 10 years because the only access I had to it was
guys, this is before Spotify, okay? Right,
this is
was a fucking trenches,
right? Back in my day, we were lucky to have music at all. Sing it for ourselves, motherfucker.
He did that a little too well, too.
Thank you. But I think the first time I heard Hot House Flowers was in that context,
mm-hmm,
and in that format. And I found this music, and it's like you'd go to the library and you'd check out however many cassettes you could check out, and most of it was shit.
Yep. And you kind of just like went, you were like, that photo looks, sure, let's go with that today, right? It's not like you were sitting there looking up each thing, each informational thing on, and I'm talking about CDs now, but
you kind of just
looking at the album photo, or you read the back, mm-hmm, and you're like, yeah, let's try that out.
But this was, there was no photo. It was a cassette, a generic cassette,
yeah,
Maxell cassette, and it had a typed label on it that said Hot House Flowers Songs from the Rain. That was the only thing you had to go on. And it was like, I wonder what this means,
mm-hmm,
you know? And you took it home, and sometimes it would be wonderful music that affected your entire life, and the other 90% of it you'd take back to the library and go back and get something else.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. That is in the top 10 best album names, in my opinion. Songs from the Rain.
I don't disagree. Yeah.
Hot House Flowers.
And it also kind of fits what? Their music. It
right?
kind of fits what they're
it's
doing.
It's perfect.
But yeah, like why, like what about that song? What about that music? Mm-hmm. Like appeal to you? What was cool
Good
about
question.
It? Yeah.
So the song is from the, you know, the Songs from the Rain album. And I chose it because it was not my favorite song from the album.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And my favorite song from the album, favorite songs, I've listened to a bajillion times.
Too much.
It almost didn't seem fair to submit it, you know. And frankly, kind of wasn't fair to submit Hot House Flowers, considering how much it means to both of us.
Yes.
However, I really do love that song. And I don't know, I feel like that song doesn't get enough attention from that album.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's why I picked it for this. But as far as the band goes, it's just, God, it's one of those fucking bands.
Yeah. They bring the right amount, and we both like this. They bring both a musicality and a catchiness, but they also bring...
There's a rawness to it.
There's like a rawness.
A raw emotional, an emotional time. An intensity. I feel fucking connected to the music, to them, to what they're saying, to that energy. It's just...
Yeah.
It's almost inexplainable. It's one of those things that you just really need to... You have to listen to, and you have to feel it for yourself.
We are both people... I'm coming up with a new theory here.
Okay.
We are both people that do not like drama in our lives. But we are both people that like a certain amount of drama in our music.
Amen.
You know, right? It's like that kind of sums it up. It's like I don't want to be around drama, but if you can show me music that has
it has, you know? Something. It has fucking grit. It has
soul. It has, and it also, like, and look at bands like Devotchka. You know, like they know how to turn it up.
Oh,
they know
perfect
how to turn
example
it down.
For that. Exactly.
And Hot House Flowers is kind of the same way.
And it's like, it's a similar thing, though. I'm glad you brought that up with the Devotchka. In his voice, and in the same voice.
Oh, really?
Like in Hot House Flowers, if you listen, it's like, it does not sound like the same tone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the same emotion going on when he sings. And it's almost like his voice is about to break apart over a cliff or something.
Yeah,
it has the same feeling and the same emotion, and talk about, I have fucking goosebumps right now talking about it. But it's a very similar thing in people that can bring that same intensity, that same emotion in their music, in these bands, you know. And it's a similarity in, say, some of the stuff that when you listen to Tom Waits that you hear and you're like, I'm being drawn into this entirely different experience, and it's like it almost like overwhelms you.
In a good way.
I love it.
That's a good thing. So I want to talk about Mr. Stephen Stills. Can we talk for a minute about Mr. Stephen Stills? did you think I was going to pick this?
You know, I kind of thought like half and half, you would pick it, you wouldn't.
Right.
It seemed like one of those things that was a little too obvious for you to pick, if that makes sense.
That's,
you know?
You're not wrong. Right.
And I'm glad that you picked it, and I love that it's in here.
I had this album back in the day, but I don't think I really listened to it that much. And I like Stephen Stills, and I like, full disclosure, like I was all in with Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Yeah, you still are.
Young. I still am. The harmonies, the songwriting.
I love them too.
The hippiness, all that 60s shit.
Wait, well, you were a hippie?
No, but I so much wanted to be. You know, like,
should I ask your sister for photos? See if you're lying.
No, I was too young to be a hippie.
Yeah.
Like. My siblings were old enough that they dabbled in some of that, but I was too, like, I was like, oh, I wish I could have been born 10 years before, so I could have been a hippie. No, that's overstating, but I get the appeal, I get the interest, and I get for me, like, being able to listen to that music and experience that music, mm-hmm. and listen to, like, CSN were still around after I got to be something of an adult, and I appreciated what they were doing, what they were trying to do. And I appreciate all 3/4 of them very much. But I love this song, and I love the story of this song.
Well, tell me a little bit about it.
So people who know anything about the first Crosby, Stills, Nash record know that Stephen Stills played most of the instruments on this record. I'm not sure if he played the drums, but I think he played pretty much everything else. Yeah. He played guitar, bass, several different guitars, some percussion, some keyboards, some whatever. Anything that needed to be played, Stephen played it. And on this song, I sort of always assumed that he was sort of playing everything. He's playing... I'm not sure. He may be playing some other stuff too, but he's playing the organ on this song.
Yeah,
and
that's crazy. You pointed that out.
Fucking,
and I was like, what?
Lights out, man. Like,
jeez.
This sounds like some dude that, like, has been in a blues band and is, like, 68 years
old. It's amazing to me that, like,
this dude, like, plays keyboard like
you
the
get
cat.
One fucking gift, bitch. You get one gift.
Yes.
Why are you fucking hogging all this other shit? What do you mean you can play the organ? You can play.
Right.
It's crazy to me.
And it is. It's amazing. It's an amazing organ line in this song.
Yeah,
an amazing
it's really
solo.
Good.
And yeah, it's cool as shit. But what people may or may not know is that the guitar solo in the song was not played at all by Stephen Stills, and was played by a pretty good friend of Mr. Stills, a man named James Marshall Hendrix. Right? Yeah, like that. And I love the fact that not only, like, did Stephen get Jimi Hendrix to come sit in his session, but they were actually pals.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
like,
cool.
And, like, I get that, like, back in the day, the music world was probably a lot smaller. And maybe you ran into people. It was easier to run into people. Mm-hmm. And
like, just the idea of all of these great fucking musical heroes or just people that are just really good at their craft or just good at the craft and just, oh man, that guy's really good at this. Oh, sure. You know,
yeah.
you bond over that and you just get together and you just, maybe you make music together, maybe you talk about whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, I love that. I love that that existed. And then, you know, it's maybe it's a little harder now, but people are still trying to find a way.
Yeah, there's
to
still collaboration.
To that.
Like
exactly.
Nathaniel Rateliff and Gregory Alan Oscar.
Yes.
Thing,
oh,
you know, like,
oh, so good.
But I love the fact that, like, back in the day, if you happened to be in LA and a lot of those people lived in LA
right.
or were playing gigs, and it was like, I'm Jimi Hendrix and Stephen Stills is playing a gig and
mm-hmm.
I just like
show up
at
right.
the club and oh, I'm Jimi Hendrix, you know.
Hey, what's
if
up?
If I don't already know Stephen Stills, it's easy to get backstage.
Right, you get an introduction.
So it's like,
right.
Hey, Stephen, I loved your work, you know.
Or somebody has like something at their house later and
yeah.
they're like, oh, so-and-so's going to be there. Okay.
Yeah, come over and party and meet Mama
like,
Cass and James Taylor and it's we'll crazy. All have a good time. And yeah, that whole Laurel Canyon scene,
mm-hmm.
of which I know CSN were involved. I don't think Jimi Hendrix was in that scene.
I don't know.
But he was in L.A., and it was not hard to meet people. I love that idea of any of that.
I think the closest we're going to get is those weird pop-up shows that you see, where it's like essentially in someone's backyard,
mm-hmm.
and...
Mm-hmm.
whoever threw it on knows, oh, this other person, yeah, let's throw them in there too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or at least invite them to show up and
yeah.
at least they can meet each other.
Which is, if you're lucky enough to be invited to those, go.
Yeah.
You're not going to regret it.
Yeah. On whatever scale.
Exactly.
You know, you're not going to get invited to a pop-up show with Stephen Stills and Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
But you might get invited to a pop-up show of local people. Big Pat and
oh,
stuff that happens
Big
at Revelé, you know, it's
yes.
like getting to see Robert Jospe and those cats, you know,
God,
and Big Pat and his his band. Like, go out and see live music for whatever it's worth.
Yeah,
and
if you get nothing else from this podcast, go out, see live music, pay attention, listen, engage.
And the more informal, the better.
Yes.
In my book.
So,
yeah.
For our next and potentially final song to talk about.
right.
I think we're ending on this note, right?
Okay.
It's a good note.
Who could this be?
Songs O'Hea.
Yes.
Right.
Jason
Molina.
Mm-hmm.
Tigress.
Yes.
Which you submitted to the playlist
months
ago.
Months ago.
It is a known thing that Big Al has an obsession with Songs O'Hea and Jason Molina.
You like him?
I do.
Almost as much as me.
I do. Almost. Yes, I do.
Yes.
And I will admit this so we can just fucking move along and have a peaceful life.
Yes.
I was wrong. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong about this song.
Okay.
I did not get it. Something clicked.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think that I love it / am as obsessed with it as you are,
mm-hmm.
but I totally get
you get it
why you do.
Well, that's fine. Thank
and
you.
And I could be the I could be a bigger woman and admit.
If Phoebe has admitted this, then we're all done here. Thank you for listening, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. no, yeah, I submitted this 6 months ago, roughly. I have no
idea.
It was
a while ago,
And I did not pick it because it was so obvious that this was the fucking best song that I had submitted. Not only that, it's like one of the best songs I've ever submitted to the playlist. This song. Like, God.
We may or may not be seeing Tigress in a future playlist.
We may or may not, yeah. But I loved the song. And I was like, I was so mad that Phoebe didn't pick it.
He held it against me.
Kind of angry.
Yeah.
But I was sort of determined to find some way. I mean, I listen to it all myself by myself all the time,
like, just on fucking repeat.
In the privacy of my own home, I listen to this song a lot, and like, it makes me happy. But I wanted to get it into the playlist. So like, this past playlist for me of my submissions was my quote-unquote loud playlist of like songs that had some rock
you did
and roll.
Have a theme,
and there was like some, not all of them were as much, but there definitely was like some intensity and some rawness and some loudness,
which I like,
which
we both like.
And a lot of the submissions that I normally do are much less like that, but I determined that this month would be that, and so this song fit in perfectly with that. And I love this song because it's like, it is that loudness and rawness, but it's also that, and again, same principle, drama.
Yes,
there's some drama in this song.
There is,
and that
we do love drama in our music. It's like yes,
yeah.
Scratches that deep itch.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm glad that I fully allow you that you do not like the song quite as much as me, but I like the fact that you have finally realized that this is actually some quality shit.
I am happy to admit when I am wrong in music.
We both are.
Yeah.
And
wrong. It is a very happy thing because you're like, I'm hearing something that I didn't hear before.
Yeah.
You know how fucking cool that is?
Yeah.
And like, it's funny, we were just talking earlier about all of my acoustic accoutrements that I have in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I have various headphones and earbuds and in-ear monitors
and we'll
listening
talk,
equipment.
We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show as well.
But it's just, I don't know, it's amazing that, and I do use these different things, But there are times I sit and I think about, what am I trying to find? What am I trying to listen to?
Right. What's the goal?
Yeah. What is the goal? And it's, I want to hear something different. I want to fall in love with the things that I love again for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And
hear it in a different way.
Exactly.
Yep.
And here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, so we have a little bit of a new format here, and we're sort of like just sort of free-forming stuff. And, you know, we're talking about, we've also talked about maybe having guests on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody local that wants to be on the podcast wants to talk about music, we'd love to talk to you, musicians, promoters.
Yeah, get on
people.
Down here.
Yeah, any of that stuff is cool. And we talked about this very briefly earlier, but like, how do you listen to music? Mm. How do you, mm-hmm. like, when do you listen to music? How do you listen to music? In what setting are you listening to music, etc.?
It's so, like, music, I cannot think of a time where music was not a significant part of my life. And I spent, I don't know, years,
yeah,
probably 2 decades thinking that was the same for everyone, right? I was like, oh, everybody loves music, everybody whatever, everybody does this, everybody does that,
right?
But everybody doesn't do that,
right?
You know, and for me, music, especially if it's like vocal music, is never something that I can really do in the background. Well, let me explain.
Yes.
So background music, like say I'm washing the dishes, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'll have a playlist on for that,
mm-hmm.
And if anybody knows me, I make playlists, okay?
Yes,
we make playlists together.
We both do.
But before we got together, I probably had over 60 playlists,
mm-hmm.
of just like random,
mm-hmm.
This is this mood, this is that mood,
right.
I have a workout one, I have one when I want to do slower workouts,
right.
I have one when I want to wash.
Yeah, and you definitely have one, like, when you have somebody over and you want to make out.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I do have, I think it's just a fire emoji.
Oh, yeah. And it starts with
meow. Anyway, so like anybody else in the 21st century.
Yes.
I listen to my music through Spotify or some other streaming service, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I started off with Napster. There's like iTunes in there, iHeartRadio, Pandora.
You know, Pandora.
I've fucking been through the range of shit, okay? Not everything, but close to it.
I think I found Jason Molina on Pandora. But anyway, go ahead.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I mean, Pandora did get better over the years, and I'd say in the end. Anyway. But now I mainly just listen through Spotify. And there was this thing, you know, that we were discussing a couple years ago. If we want to leave Spotify, where would we go?
Mm-hmm.
Would we go to? And the big thing was Tidal, right? I was like,
mm-hmm.
better music quality, XYZ, same price, whatever. And ended up not making the move because the fucking algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is still at a level for me that the algorithm is giving me more of those interesting out of the box whatever things that I like listening to and want to devote time to, whereas, and it has a lot to do with catalog and everything too.
Yes.
It didn't seem as effective as connected on Tidal. All that to say is I'm basically just on Spotify right now, and that's where I get most of my music from. I do read through Reddit subreddit threads and everything, just because I like to keep up to date with stuff. I'll get stuff on TikTok. I'll go through YouTube. Weird blog posts that usually don't produce anything. But, you know, I just,
sure.
I'm looking at different things, so I'm not just, like, hooked on one.
You have your finger on the pulse of the music listening
my finger,
environment.
My right? fingers are in several pies.
That sounds slightly arousing. I have an interesting thing to say about that I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about Spotify, we were talking about how you listen to this stuff, and my friend was like, I like different things, and we were talking about Apple Music, and we were talking about I forget what she was into, but she was like, yeah, I don't like Spotify because I feel like it just gives me the same stuff. And I was like, stop. What do you listen to on Spotify?
Yep.
And she was like, well, I listen to what I listen to. And I was like, my experience is kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
And I said, and I totally believe this to be true, and I didn't say this in this words to her, but I think for our experience, I feel like this is true, and we're the opposite of this, but Spotify, it works on the principle of garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the same shit, Spotify gives you the same shit.
Right.
But you and I listen to lots of different stuff on Spotify and listen to sort of out of the box stuff on Spotify.
We kind of started the playlist for that purpose of sending each other out of the box weird shit. Hey, I like this. Listen to this thing that you've never heard before.
Absolutely. Yeah. And both of us sort of, at least I, and I think you do too, we go out of our way to find less popular stuff.
Yes,
we go out of
true.
Our way to find music
both
that
on
is
Spotify
maybe,
and outside of Spotify.
Yeah. We find stuff that's unusual, different, maybe less listened to. And Spotify, to their credit, has learned this.
Mm-hmm.
And Spotify feeds us its garbage in, garbage out, weird shit in, weird shit out.
Right.
You know? And I think for me, Spotify works well. And I'm not here to like promote Spotify, and Spotify is not giving me any kickbacks unless, hey, like, we're like being nice to you.
Please give us money.
You don't even have to give us money, but like,
no, I'll
you,
take
like,
the money.
Can
like,
you like
give me that check?
Kick some like extra weird shit over here. Like,
kick us some extra weird shit and comp our Spotify costs every month.
Yes.
But yeah, you are totally correct, you know? Like you said, garbage in, garbage out. I think we spend so much time, dedicate part of our lives to fucking music.
Yeah.
Trying to discover and wanting even more of that.
And to bring that music to you.
Maybe Spotify don't have no fucking choice but to send us that shit.
Yes.
Otherwise, we leave. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Maybe it got scared after I heard us talking about leaving for Tidal. And all the kind of stuff, but it's true that you put
customer
this
Phoebe Fowler is considering leaving. Increase quality of audio
no,
feeds.
No, and increase. You know what I'm gonna say?
Right.
Sad Pony Gorilla Girl.
Oh God. Well, that would be the exception. No, like Spotify. Spotify is going like Phoebe Fowler and Al Hammond are in cahoots.
Cahoots, eh?
Right. And so that's the term that Spotify AI is using. It's like cahoots. Anyway, but Phoebe, like Sad Pony Gorilla Girl. Sad Gorilla Pony Girl? One of those.
Sad Pony Gorilla Girl.
And, but Al Hammond does not like this, so. Anyway.
Let's play it consistently for Big Al. And never for Phoebe, because that's exactly what happens when I listen to our playlist. I've heard it 3 times in your car, and once, only once, since I have submitted it.
Well, that's really
interesting.
Isn't
that fucking weird?
No, here's the weird shit. It never plays it when I'm by myself. It only plays it when you're in the car with
that's
me.
That's creepy.
Right.
I'm scared.
It knows you're with me.
Hug me, I'm scared.
Right, no. No, that's totally creepy.
I'm unsettled.
You should be.
but anyway.
But anyway, not only like, what do we listen to? What platform are we listening to? But like, you've talked a lot about, and like, listeners, like Phoebe is. We were talking about this before we started recording. Phoebe has an unhealthy collection
of
headphones and
I don't know we were
and
using
listening devices.
Fighting words. What do you mean unhealthy? The silence was so loud.
How many pairs of headphones and or earbuds do
I
you
only
own?
Have listeners, I only have 3 pair of headphones, okay? To be fair, don't give me that look. I bought one myself after debating whether I should actually spend my hard-earned coin on these headphones for 6 weeks, okay? I did research. So I bought my Sony XM4 headphones.
And you've had those for a while.
I had those.
A couple of years?
Shit, I bought them in 21 or 22, okay? So I've had them, you know, at least for 3 years, four mm-hmm. years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And a couple years ago,
yes,
I super appreciate it. My roommate's parents actually bought me a really nice pair of Quiet Comfort, the next level of Bose headphones.
Which is what you're listening to. What's on your head right now?
Right now. Right. I'm very happy about it. I freaking love them. And I still go between these and the XM4s depending on my mood of the day.
Right. I assume like any set of any sort of speakers, you hear slightly different things in different environments.
Yes, you do. Yes.
And is there any, and I think about this too, like as I listen to music in my car versus another car that I'm in versus at home versus headphones versus earbuds versus everything, you hear slightly different things.
Mm-hmm.
In those two sets of headphones, is there, like, do you listen to one set of headphones if you're listening to one genre versus a different genre?
No. So it's more that, oh, I'm listening to this. I'm listening to this album. I'm listening to, it's usually more like of a focus thing, like an album, or I'm listening to this specific playlist. I want to hear more of it. Okay, I'm going to listen to it this time on these headphones, and then I'm going to switch to the other ones.
Oh, so you listen to it twice?
Yep.
On one set of headphones,
yes.
And then again. Oh, interesting.
Especially if I really like it, I might listen to it even a third or a fourth time on the other audio equipment that I have.
Here we go.
You laugh, but it's like, I get that normal people don't do this, but it's fun for me. It's a hobby.
No, and it's exactly what we're talking about hearing different things.
Yes.
But it's taken to
exactly
one more level.
I want to hear as much as I can within the scope that I am willing to frankly spend and dedicate my time to. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm getting the most
There's a limited amount of money to spend on audio equipment. There's a limited amount of time and energy to listen to music. But
and,
within
you know,
that, you
depending
want
on what circle you're in,
you can get.
I'm listening on most of the time Bluetooth ear like headphones, so people don't even consider that as being, you know, XYZ, whatever.
Right.
But for me, it's fine, right?
Yeah.
And you know, if it's
and you're getting
something
a little,
like
you're getting a little, you're learning, you're hearing some different sounds.
Yeah, and maybe I'm training my ear for this or whatever.
Yeah.
But when we send our playlist every month back and forth, like this past playlist, I have like a set of like good in-ear monitors that'll listen to. And I bought these because I was genuinely considering switching to Tidal.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, let me get the most bang for my buck. So I bought this whole system and I bought the adapter and all this other stuff. And it didn't necessarily work out. However, I still have them and I still love them and I can still
and you still
hear
get
that
a little something different
as
out
get
of the
something
audio
different.
Experience. Yeah.
But I will try and listen to it at least once on that with those as well. So.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, like I have two sets of headphones and listeners, like neither of my headphones even begin to approach the audio qualities of Phoebe's. And I'm fine with that. I appreciate good audio quality very much, but it's just like anyone, there's a limited amount of money and a limited amount of time and energy. And
even if you had the money, it's
what?
Yeah, the time and energy, because I'm talking, you know, it's hours in a fucking day, okay? Half the day.
Yeah.
Spending
and also,
on this stuff, switching over, making sure that this is charged. It eats up time, and I get why people don't do this every day. And good for you that you don't, right? But for me, it's some. I have extra time, so, and I care, so I'm gonna do it.
It's also all relative that it's like one person cares this much,
mm-hmm.
and like I care some, and like you care about audio quality in headphones slightly more than me, so that's a higher priority. But there's also people that are like vast levels above you that would think your headphones are absolute pieces of garbage.
Sure. Like, have you looked at those fucking Audiohead subreddits?
No, and I don't want to. Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know if it's even a matter of that you're rich or that, like, you sold your soul to the devil. Yeah. How did you afford?
Right. I also have, I spend a lot of time listening to music on my little speakers, and I invested, invested is like a very small word. I spent a little bit of money on some Bluetooth speakers, and they are not, full disclosure, they're not great. They're not anything that anyone would be proud of, but I like the way they sound, and it's a, again, it's a different audio environment.
It's different.
Having them placed where I have them in my room here, you hear different things than you would in headphones.
Exactly.
And you hear different things, you know, like every listening environment is a little different, and you learn something about a particular song. Like you were saying, like you play the same song in headphones versus earbuds versus speakers versus in a car. Like you hear slightly different things.
And I love hearing those different, and it's like, and sometimes like you hear something different, but sometimes you don't. It's like a lack of difference, or it's something that is missing that you heard before. And it's, I don't know, it's almost like you're doing like a game with yourself, and it's like, oh wow, that's so interesting. Like I heard this here, and I don't hear that subtlety in here, and you're just comparing it to all these other things. It's just,
no, that's a cool thing.
It's super fun for me.
Yep.
But I think that is something that you can very much relate to. And I don't know. It's just being able to do this playlist and sit around and talk about music.
That's
with
why
you.
We're here. You know? Like,
exactly. It is why we're here.
We're here to, like, Phoebe and I are here to, like, share music with each other. And we love doing that, and we will always love doing that. But it's also fun just sort of sitting around talking about music in general. And hopefully you like and enjoy a little bit of the stupid crap that we talk about. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for listening. Both our Spotify playlist and our silly little podcast are updated and released around the first of each month. We're recorded every month at the warm and cozy hug of the OML Studios in downtown Manchester, Richmond, Virginia.
If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review and subscribe to our finished and ordered playlist on Spotify by searching for In the Distance, Oblivious.
You can visit our podcast home on the internet at itdo.name and email us with any questions or suggestions at music@itdo.name.
A special thanks to Woodford Reserve Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey for help in recording this one.
Our theme music is Red Eye by E's Jammy Jams, and a lot of our great background music is from Blue Dot Sessions. All of our music credits are listed in our show notes.
Thanks to Hot House Flowers.
Thanks to Jason Molina.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Frank.
Please keep listening and tell your friends.
Server.